I'm pleased to talk to Dr. Sonali Dasgupta today about our continuing subject of diabetes and metabolic health. And in particular today, we're talking about polycystic ovarian disease, which is a topic which many women are perhaps familiar with. Dr. Dasgupta, what is polycystic ovary?
So polycystic ovary is it's a syndrome. So it's a condition that kind of overlaps actually sort of the realms of gynae as well as hormonal health. But it's got its root in metabolic health. So it's quite interesting. So it affects women, and it's essentially women who have lots of follicles, so lots of eggs in their ovaries, which then cause a whole host of issues. So it's associated with insulin resistance, which we talked about on a previous podcast. But essentially, it means that the way that you metabolize sugar is slightly abnormal, and that then causes certain changes. So it means that women with PCOS are more likely, for example, to have overweight or to have obesity. Women are more likely to have to be at risk of developing pre-diabetes and diabetes in the future. And some women also, as a part of this syndrome, may have difficulties conceiving, so they may have fertility challenges as well.
So going back to ovaries having follicles, mm-hmm. And those are the egg-bearing areas on the ovary, mm-hmm. Why is it some women have more than others? Is there a known reason why that happens?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. I don't think there's a consensus on it. It's sort of an understudied area of medicine, as a lot of kind of women's health issues are. But a woman will be born with all of the eggs that she's ever going to have. And we think it's something that happens when a mother is pregnant with that person, so with that woman who may go on to have PCOS, that there's something that happens during the pregnancy that then means that woman is born with more eggs, essentially. That's a theory. There are lots of other factors that can be involved, whether it's got a genetic component. We know that PCOS can run in families to a degree. And then there's an argument about whether certain environmental aspects can, and it's a bit of a chicken and egg scenario. So we know that our diets, so that kind of the standard Western diet is very high in sugar and processed foods, and whether that might then impact things like developing insulin resistance. So does insulin resistance then make it more likely that someone will develop PCOS? But we think it's probably a mixture of lots of different factors. But essentially, it all kind of amalgamates into a woman will have multiple follicles and multiple egg-bearing areas that then affect the way that affect the hormonal balance, essentially, in the body. And that doesn't just affect sex hormones, it affects other hormones like insulin.
So that's amazing. You can have too many eggs on your ovaries, and that gives you the problem with fertility potentially and insulin resistance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think one of the points that I probably didn't emphasize is that part of it is that your ovaries always want to make hormones. And if part of the problem is you've got too many eggs and your ovaries produce estrogen, and when your body's not getting the signals that it needs to then ovulate and make estrogen, your ovaries want to be able to make hormones, so it makes more testosterone. And that is a crucial aspect of PCOS, is that women with PCOS tend to make more androgenic, so sort of male hormones and male hormone testosterone. And then that's associated with other features of polycystic ovaries, ovarian syndrome, such as acne or hair loss on the head and facial hair as well.
It's really interesting. And how would a woman know that she might have PCO? I mean, she may have guessed it, presumably, but sometimes is it quite difficult to know if you have it?
Yeah, as with a lot of things, actually, there's a whole, there's a big amount of variability in the way that that people will present with PCOS or what their symptoms are. So of those symptoms, some women, they may have overweight, they may have obesity. It might present with difficulties losing weight, so kind of resistance to weight loss. It could be that a woman does have what she feels is excess facial hair, so particularly hair kind of on the cheeks, on the chin. Some women will have acne, so they may have they suffer with acne and skin issues. And then, like I said, so hair thinning, particularly on the head. Some women, the way that it presents is actually when they come to try and conceive, that they have issues conceiving. But one of the biggest sort of, I suppose, diagnostic criteria, one of the main things that we're looking for is because of this hormonal imbalance issue, that a lot of women won't be ovulating regularly. And therefore, one of the hallmark symptoms is irregular periods or irregular cycles, and that can look very different for different women. It might be that a woman doesn't have a period at all. It might be that they have very irregular cycles, so very long cycles, for example, over 40 days between periods. It might be that periods are regular at some points but then become irregular at certain other points. So period irregularities, your period really ideally should fall, you know, within a few days of every month. And if it doesn't, then it's worth speaking to a doctor about it to explore reasons why that might be happening.
Okay. And in terms of other diagnostic ways, obviously you talk to the patient, you see them. Does ultrasound play a part in looking at polycystic disease?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that we diagnose polycystic ovarian syndrome is with... there's certain variations of this, but I tend to use something called the Rotterdam criteria. So that's a set of criteria with three parts to it, and you need two of the three to have a diagnosis. So one of them is involving ultrasound. So if you were to have an ultrasound of your womb and your ovaries, what the sonographer may notice is that you have more than the average number of eggs in your or follicles in your ovary. So that's one criteria. The second criteria is via a blood test. So we look to see what the testosterone level is. So if your testosterone level is above what we would consider as a normal range for women, that could point towards polycystic ovarian syndrome. And the third criteria is what we call a clinical criteria. So it's a symptom, and that is if you have irregular cycles, and mainly of fewer than normal periods or long cycles, so long periods of time between periods, essentially. If you fulfill two of those three, then it's highly likely that you've got polycystic ovarian syndrome.
That's great. Thank you.